Good morning and welcome to the fellowship here this morning. Praying that you have come anticipating meeting the Lord here this morning, and thank you for allowing me to change up the service a little bit. And I do apologize to the ushers. I forgot to mention that we will not be lifting the offering at this point, but hold that thought until we begin our worship time. We'll lift the offering there. And again, I apologize for that inconvenience. It is good to be alive. It is good to be able to fellowship together. It is good to be able to spend some time again this week remembering and being thankful for the things that we have and the things that we have been blessed with by God. And I know that this morning, that I know that you know in your heart that the biggest blessings are not the physical blessings, but those that God has given us through his son, Jesus. Amen. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are able to come into the Holy of Holies and be able to fellowship with the Father. And that is worth being thankful for. That is worth being thankful for. And I think this morning that life has so many things to offer us that we get caught up in the doing life and we forget about being thankful. So I'm glad that there is a day set aside, but I think it behooves us all to be diligent about being thankful every day. And living a life of thanksgiving, living a life of I'm going to be reading from Psalms 100. You can turn there if you want to. But one of the commands in Psalms 100 is to serve the Lord with gladness. To serve the Lord with gladness. And I believe this morning that if there's anything that is a powerful testimony to the world around it, it is when we have the ability, which God has given us in every circumstance. God has given us the ability to serve him with gladness. And if there is anything that's going to reach the world, it is our ability to serve the Lord with gladness. It's our ability to be true to the scripture and to recognize that we are what we are because God made us. He created us. In the scripture again, it says we are the sheep of his pasture. He made us. It says that we are to know that he made us. Psalms 100 is one of the psalms that comes to mind when I think of about an extremely powerful psalm that speaks to what our response should be to the benefits that we have. Last Sunday, Eric preached from Psalms 103, and in there he called our attention to the benefits that we have of being a Christian, being a follower of Christ. And so today I want to look at what our response should be to those benefits. So it's kind of bouncing off of the sermon that Eric shared last Sunday, and in my devotional time as I was preparing what God would have me to share this morning, I felt like this is what God wanted me to share with you this morning, Psalms 100. I know that it's a psalm that a lot of children can even quote to us here this morning, and it's a familiar psalm, but I believe there's a message in it for us again this morning. So we're going to take a little bit of time. If we are going to win the world for Jesus, we need to serve him with gladness. If we are going to win the world for Jesus, we need to serve him with gladness. And it can be done. And I want to start this morning by I want to start by affirming mothers here this morning. Because one of the things that happens when we think about serving the Lord with gladness and think about getting caught up in doing life, getting caught up in going to work, getting caught up in taking care of the family, getting caught up in the just doing, is when we lose sight of serving the Lord with gladness. And this morning, I want to give a shout out to the mothers that are here this morning and for the piles of dirty laundry that you do and the dirty dishes and the cleaning the floor and you clean the floor again and you do the laundry again and you do the dishes again. And my hat's off to you, because one of the things that you're doing, and I want you to know this morning, that the world has tried to force you into a mold that if you're a mother or a homemaker, that you're a little bit less than what you could be. I'm here to tell you this morning, you are more than you could be. Amen? This morning, My hat's off to mothers who are ministering to and who are reaching out to children day after day, who are leaving an example. And to you, mothers, this morning, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness, because when you do that, your children see you serving the Lord with gladness. You're not just serving them. You're serving the Lord with gladness. And I know that's hard when it's in the times of the trenches of just serving and doing. Let me share with you a story of the rewards that come with serving the Lord with gladness. Wendell and Sonia's son Jude is attending Fairview to school, but he rides a public school bus to go to school. His bus driver came to Sonia and said, "I just have to tell you what Jude said to me. He said to me, 'Do you go to church?'" And I don't know what the bus driver's response was, but the next question he asked him was, "Do you believe in Jesus?" He was five years old. He just turned six since that. But at five years old, he was willing to step out. And I believe it's a response of his parents serving the Lord with gladness. It's a response of that. So if you're a mother here this morning, I want to encourage you to keep on. I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on serving the Lord with gladness. You're touching the world. You're touching the world in a way that pastors can't. You're touching the world in a way that evangelists can't. You're touching the world in a way that teachers can't. Because you are there, they see you, and when they see you serve the Lord with gladness, this is the results that it will bring. Hang in there. Hang in there. And to you fathers here this morning who are serving the Lord with gladness and recognizing that your job is not just a job, you are serving the Lord with gladness. You are taking care of your family and serving the Lord with gladness. Do you get the picture? It makes a world of difference. And if you want to do something for the kingdom of God, serve the Lord with gladness. Now the Bible says that by this you will know that all men, that you are my disciples, is that you have love for one another. And I believe the big part of that is that we serve the Lord with gladness. That we serve him and that we serve him with gladness. Not just serving him. You don't go to church on a Sunday morning because you have to. You go because you want to. You don't stop and open your Bible and read it in the morning. I'm talking to you fathers, that your children can see you. You don't stop and open your Bible and read it because you have to, but because you want to serve the Lord with gladness. You do it gladly. You do it joyously. Makes all the difference in the world. And there are many things that we can be thankful for. And we can stop and we can think about all the physical things that we have in our lives that we can be thankful for. And somebody wrote a list, and I'm just going to read some of these things that were shared here. Someone wrote a list of things to which he was thankful. He said this, "I am thankful for the taxes I pay." You say, what? "I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because that means I'm employed." Do you ever stop and think about that? If you're paying taxes, you're employed. So thank God that you have a job. "I am thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because that means I have plenty to eat." That we don't think of it. We just cruise on by. Well, I think the detergent that they use to wash uniforms, like at Byler's, they have uniforms and we send them away to get them washed. I think the detergent they use is really wicked because they get smaller as time goes on. I think that's what it is. Anyway, thankful that I have a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, and gutters that need cleaning because it means that I have a home. If you didn't have gutters, windows, and lawn to mow, and all those things, you might be sleeping under a bridge or in a cardboard box. But thank God this morning that you have a home. And what comes with it is these things. And if we serve the Lord with gladness, we will mow the lawn joyfully. We will wash the windows joyfully. I don't know if you always be, you don't have to always be singing when you're doing it, but thank God for a huge heating bill. Did you ever stop when the PP&L bill came or the gas bill or whatever it is and say, thank you, Lord. This is a nice big bill. Because you know what? You stayed warm. Thank God that you stayed warm. There are people who have no heat. There are people who have no place to have heat. So are you thankful this morning for the big heating bill? Are you thankful for the piles of laundry? Ladies, when you get up on Monday morning and you start collecting the wash and you're putting it all together, and do you do it serving the Lord with gladness, being thankful that because you have a pile of laundry, you have family around you. You have people around you. Do you ever stop and think of it that way? Now, your list might not be the same, but I'm convinced that if we begin to make a list, we would find that we have much for which to be thankful, and then just more than just our material possessions. Like you, I'm sure the list, this would include life, health, family, friends, the nation we live in, even though it's, you know, there's some things we question. It has its flaws. But the biggest thing that you can be thankful for this morning is that you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that should be enough to make you shout with joy. Amen? Amen. Not that you have a new car. Not that you have a new house. Your car can be old. It can be full of problems, rust, bad transmissions, whatever they might be. The problems with your vehicle should not determine your thankfulness or mine. Yeah, I put a new transmission in last week. Trying to be thankful about it. I have a vehicle to drive. So the biggest thing that we can be thankful for is our salvation. Let's look at Psalms 100. Beginning in verse 1, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. That's our God. That is the God that we serve. It is the command that we're given in Scripture, how we're supposed to respond to what we have. And we're supposed to respond joyously, to give a shout. The first command there in verse 1, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. And we're coming into the football season, and I know that you can shout. I have seen it. I have seen people shout and jump up and down and get excited and use expression. I know that it's not dead. I know that it's alive here in this room. I know that it can happen. Give a joyful shout to the Lord. Amen? A joyful shout to the Lord. Why? And who's supposed to do it? It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. All you lands. Everyone is supposed to. Everyone is supposed to make a joyful shout. Maybe he solved your problem. Maybe he's given you direction to go. Maybe he has provided a blessing. And you realize that it has come from God. So from the depths of your being, you proclaim your praise. I'm guilty of not always doing that. I'm guilty of not always doing that. Sometimes I catch myself murmuring and complaining and not serving the Lord with gladness. But every time I stop. And I say, Lord, it's good. It's good. It's okay. It's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then I am again able to serve him with gladness.
The word shout means to proclaim with force of a trumpet blast, a shout of joy to the Lord that comes from the very depth of our being. A trumpet blast, a shout. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. I'm going to read a story. There was a missionary that introduced himself and said, "I was a medical missionary for many years in India. I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in the area that caused people to lose their sight as they grew older. But this missionary had developed a treatment with which would stop progressive blindness, so people came to him and he performed his treatment. And they would leave realizing that they would have become completely blind, but because of him, their sight had been saved. He said, they never said thank you because the phrase was not in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, I will tell your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they eagerly proclaimed it. And if we look down through in Psalms 100 here, it says verse 4, be thankful to him and bless his name. And I was thinking, as Karen and I talked about a little bit, it talked about what does it mean to bless his name? What does it mean to bless his name? I think this story sums up what it means to bless his name. Because of what you have experienced, what I have experienced, we are able to tell the world, we are able to tell those around us that there is someone who is able to cure the death sentence that was placed on us by the man Adam and the failure and sin. So, bless his name. The second command, which is what I was going to focus on a little more this morning, is in verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the church. Doesn't say serve the preacher. Doesn't say serve some organization. It says what? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. The Bible teaches us that when we feed the hungry and we clothe the naked, if we do work for, then we are doing work for the Lord. Whatever it might be, we are serving the Lord. In giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, we are serving the Lord. In taking care, taking responsibility as parents, taking responsibility as children, being part of the family, it is all part of serving the Lord, and we're supposed to do it with gladness. Matthew 25:40, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." So what the Psalm 100 is saying is, whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Whatever you're doing, serve the Lord with gladness. The third command, still found there in verse 2, it says, come before his presence with singing. And I noticed that in this here, God wants us to be happy. Make a joyful shout. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That sounds like happy people to me. That sounds like joyful people to me. And if we are going to be true to the scripture and be true to the command, again, I say it is a command. It is not an option. It is not an option. As you look throughout scripture and we say, why do we have to sit here this morning and hear again that we're supposed to be happy and glad people? Why do we? Why do we need to hear it again? Why is it so often written in Scripture commanding us to be happy, joyful people, serving with gladness? Why is it written more than one time? If it wasn't such a big deal, it probably would have only been written one time. But it is a big deal because it makes a world of difference in when we're reaching out to the world. The psalmist is saying, come before him and serve him and sing his praise with a joy in your heart. Do you ever find yourself just singing? Singing joyfully before the Lord, not for someone else to hear. I told you I sing in a shower. I won't tell you where else I sing, but I sing And sometimes it's just, you know, it's just there. There's some places I go, and the shower is one of them, where it just, I just find that a place where I can sing. There's nobody criticizing it. Nobody cares what it sounds like. You know, it's just, anyway, try it sometime. Sing joyful songs to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with singing. Then we go on to the fourth command. In verse 3 it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Let me read it again. Know, the first word is know, that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It don't matter how much we have tried to make ourselves who we are, you can't change it. You can cut your hair, you can dye your hair, you can put on false teeth, you can put on whatever you want to put on. God still made you. He made you who you are. He made me who I am. And he wants me to serve out of who I am. He wants you to serve out of who you are. It is God who has made us. We are the sheep of his pastures. We are the sheep of his pastures. He's the one that made you. He didn't mess up. He did not mess up. He knew what he was doing when he put you together. Your emotions and everything about you. Your physical being. He knew what he was doing when he put you together. Walk in it joyfully. Quit trying to change what God has made. There are ways we can mess it up. I understand. But thank God for who you are. And you'll be able to serve with gladness. So serving the Lord with gladness has a lot to do with knowing that the Lord, he is God. It's he that made us, not we ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. And that sounds really elementary. It sounds really like, Luke, you don't need to drive that point home. Yes, I do. Because I see people spending their lives trying to change who they are. And yes, we should change the sinful nature. We should not. That should be changed. But embrace who you are. Embrace who God made you. Serve where God called you to serve. Do it the way you do it. God made you. So serve him with gladness. God took every bone, every joint, he welded them together. He made everything work. I thank God for the stomach I have left this morning. I was able to stuff some turkey in it on Thursday and it worked fine. You know, it's not all there, but it's working. Thank God. I know that many of you here this morning could stand up and give a shout of praise to something that God is doing in your life or has done, in who you are. But you have to stop and embrace it. You have to stop and embrace who you are. God is God. He made you. And we are the sheep of his pastures. Embrace it. Embrace it. And you'll be able to serve him with gladness. We're not finished. God's still working on us. In Philippians 1:3-6, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And jumping to verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. God is your maker. You are created in his image. Therefore, give him thanks for who you are. We are the sheep of his pastures. We are not the shepherd. We were in Missouri again a couple weeks ago, and I told you my niece has the herd of sheep that are led by the pony. They have added some donkeys to the whole mix now yet. So it's just amusing to watch. We were headed out the driveway, which the pasture was along the driveway there back in where we were staying. And the sheep were kind of gathered together there, and they were actually, what happened was that they have a dog that comes out too sometimes and helps. But the dog is kind of green at the whole thing. He'll get them, he kind of gets them together, but doesn't know what to do with it from there on. So the sheep were all together. The front ones were looking towards the barn, and the back ones all lined up looking towards the barn. And not in a single file line, but the whole flock was there together. And the front ones, they started grazing. And the back ones are standing there like, what are you guys doing? You know, that's kind of what I thought they were saying. But anyway, I'm looking, and they're like, they don't know what to do. And I said, well, where's the pony? And I looked over, and on the other side of the flock, up towards a little patch of woods, the pony would come trotting down through. Trotted right up to the front of the line and started trotting towards the barn, or walking. He didn't trot at that point, but started walking towards the barn, and all of the sheep followed. Followed the pony right up to the barn. We are the sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep of his pasture. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He is the one that if you follow him, he will take you to where there is food. He will take you to where there is comfort. He will take you to where it is warm. He will make nice bedding for you. He will take you there. He is your leader. He is your guide. He is your God. He is the only one. Amen. He's the only one that you can follow that has your good in mind. I don't know what the pony thinks, but it's good to watch. It's fun to watch them work it all out. Unfortunately, there are pastors today, there are scholars, there are people who are scratching the ears of people and making them feel good. And as again, if I may a little bit with the donkeys, we walked up to the fence and called the donkeys, and they're actually very tame. They came over to the fence, and they sidled up alongside the fence, and I reached over and I scratched their ears, and they kind of leaned into it. There are pastors who are just scratching ears today. They are not to be followed. And I promise you, I will not scratch your ears. There is one pastor, there is one Lord, there is one God. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, you can follow him with assurance. I may mislead you by mistake. It is not my intent. But I will not scratch your ears just so you lean in to me. There is one true God. Know, let's read that again. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. You don't answer to church. You don't answer to me. You answer to Jesus. You answer to God Almighty, the one who has created you. You are his sheep. You are his sheep. You are the sheep of his pasture. And he will lead you. He will guide you. Stay focused. Stay fixed on him. In verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. Let me back up to verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And I cannot express enough to you this morning how important I believe it is to God that when we come to him in prayer, that we come with a thankful heart. That we come with a thankful heart. That is how we enter into his presence. That's how we come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That is what he's asking of us that we do. And then verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. How long is his mercy good? Everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. It's not just for a moment. It is not just for a small time. It is not just for one incident in your life. But his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. If you were to ask Noah, he may tell you, I could have drowned in the flood, but God was merciful, and he rescued me. You could ask Abraham, and he will say, I was living in Ur of the Chaldees. among idol worshipers, but God took me out and led me to a beautiful land where I could worship the true and living God. You could ask Joseph while he was in prison. God was merciful to him. But the Lord, in Genesis says that, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of the prison. Ask Moses, and he would tell you that God is his merciful. He will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. That's Deuteronomy 4:31. Ask David, and he will tell you, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they will tell you, we could not have burned in Nebuchadnezzar's furnace, but God was merciful. And this morning, I stand before you and I say that I grew up living a life of hopelessness. And at the age of 25, God came in and saved my soul. He gave me life. He put a spirit within me where I could see and I could live and I could breathe. And it was the life that God put in me. And you know what your story is this morning. What is your story? What is your story of the mercy, of the mercies of God? For God is good. His mercy is everlasting. And maybe this morning, in these here stories that I told you, they all have a good result. But I know that there are many Christians who have gone on before us who have been fully aware of God's mercy, even when it did not work out physically the way they wanted it to. And you may be here this morning, and you could give a testimony of that very case in your life where you know that the mercy of God is good because he has not worked it out physically for you. That's what makes you know and understand that the mercies of God are good every day, and they are everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. What is your story? Let me quote Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The most of men are careless and indifferent to their heavenly King. They remember all things else except the God who made them. We find them willing to serve their country, to serve science, literature, art, trade, but as to serving God, they will have none of it. The spirit of this age is too much that of Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" This was written in 1867. Do you think it has escalated? Now, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is God that I should obey him? I'm quoting the unbeliever now, I even observe Christians who, they don't live a joyful life. They don't serve the Lord with gladness. It's not attractive to me. Why would I do something? Why would I follow? Why would I invest in something that brings me nothing, that brings me no joy, that brings me no hope? It has to have the message of hope. Our serving the Lord with gladness needs to have the message of hope in it. And the way we will do that is if we recognize who we are in Christ and we serve the Lord with gladness and a thankful and a joyful heart. That's my challenge to you this morning. That's why I challenge you to recognize if there are areas. If being grateful is so ridiculously good for us and God commands us to do it, what are we meant to do when we don't feel thankful? What are we meant to do when we don't feel thankful? Just start. Just start. When you start, it will have a good effect on you and the people around you. The first thing I think we need to do is stop waiting for we need to stop flipping the pages forward to the happily ever after and start living and embracing where we're at now. We need to stop resenting the lives that we're living, never signed up for. In other words, I mustn't wait to feel thankful to be thankful. When you do, you'll see your perspective shift and realize you don't need to see things differently to be grateful, but rather be grateful to see things differently. I love that. Let me read it again. You don't need to see things differently to be grateful, but rather be grateful to see things differently. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, I understand struggling. I know that it's a real part of life, and I know that there are things that happen to us that we can't control, and it seems like I just can't find it within my heart to serve with gladness. I can't find a joy. Can't find a life worth living anymore. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that that's your life right now. Don't stay there. If there ever was a person, if we look at the Apostle Paul, who wrote many times the instruction for us to be thankful and grateful. In 2 Corinthians 6, and I'm just going to read some of that here quickly. 2 Corinthians 6, he says this, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting." Have you done any of these? Have you experienced any of these? "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, and as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always moaning and complaining." Not what he says. "As sorrowful yet always rejoicing." As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. And I believe that it's possible that the Apostle Paul went through as much abuse as all of us put together. Just throwing that out there. And yet he was able to write while he was sitting in prison that yet sorrowful, always rejoicing. How did he do it? How did he do it? He was not confused about who he was serving. Are we confused this morning about who we're serving? And if we are, we need to get back to serving the Lord with gladness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Get back to serving the Lord with gladness, because it is an appointment that's given, and the worship team can prepare to lead us in the time of worship. We are God's people. We are the people of his pastors. We have so much to be thankful for. And I know that I didn't share anything new with you this morning, but hopefully I've challenged you, or the scripture has challenged you, to step up to serving the Lord with gladness, serving him from the bottom of your heart. Let's stand together, prepare our hearts for a time of worship. And I expect this morning that we have the ability to worship and express ourselves in ways that we have not. So allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Allow the Spirit of God to lead you in worship and in praise. And also at this time we'll have the ushers lift the offering during the first song. But let's pause and ask the Lord to anoint our time together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Father, you alone are worthy of praise and honor. I thank you, Father, that veil was torn and that we are able to walk into the Holy of Holies, covered by the blood of Jesus this morning, and stand holy and pure before you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the life that you have given us. Thank you for the ability that we have to be able to be part of a fellowship here this morning. Thank you for the ability we have to be able to be part of the sheep, to be of the sheep of the pastures of the Lord God Almighty, the one who created us. God, I thank you this morning that we are able to lift up our voices in praise. And Lord, if there's anything that is stopping us from doing that, Father, we confess it before you this morning. And we open our hearts to you, because we know that your Spirit is the one that leads and guides our time and our thoughts in a time of praise and worship. God, I pray that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up. Father, I pray that each one in this room here this morning would be able to be a living example of serving you with gladness. God, I pray for myself, Lord, as I too am in need of being able to recognize the things in life. They're not so big when they're put under the blood. God, I thank you for that. And I pray this morning, Lord, if there's someone here who has something that is not put under the blood, Lord, I pray that it would be. I pray that you would move on their hearts. I pray that you would open the minds of their spirit to receive from you this morning and to be able to worship and praise you from the bottom of the heart, and that you would receive the honor and the glory in it. So God, we give this here time of praise and worship to you because we know that you alone are worthy and there is none like you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.